Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Swain at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. In just a moment, our guest, Stephen Wilford, Gun Owners of America. He's the good guy with a gun, remember, for helping stop the largest Texas mass shooting in the history of the state back in 2017. Be here in just a moment. Daniel Greenfield, Shulman's journalist fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's talking about the war on, Here it is. L.A. mayor wants to dump right-wing cops and bring in failed diversity hires. And then, of course, it's the Duke. That's Selwyn Duke coming up here in the second hour. Right now, I want to remind you that while New York does allow for concealed carry permits, it's making them really tough to use them. And Gun Owners of America spokesman Stephen Wilford is here now to discuss this ridiculous law, which will soon be reviewed by the Second Court of the U.S. Court of Appeals. New York continues to be a thorn in the side of gun owners, particularly those that practice constitutional carry, or concealed carry, as some call it. A new report from the New York Times indicates the city's attempt to apply its own gun laws following the Supreme Court's overturning of previous regulations has increasingly challenged to private gun owners. Following the court's decision back in June, New York created a law taking away the proper cause requirement for carry permits. However, at the same time, it created new restrictions that make it difficult to have public possession of a firearm, contradicting the ability to use a permit. The legislation, according to the Times, made certain areas off limits to firearms. However, as a result, many federal judges, along with various gun groups, have deemed them unconstitutional, going against the Second Amendment. And next month, the U.S. Court of Appeals is set to hear a number of cases surrounding citizens that note how the new rule makes it nearly impossible to carry a firearm, even with a permit. Here now to discuss this further is Stephen Wilford, the spokesman for Gun Owners of America. And as I mentioned a moment ago, you might recall how back in 2017, he stopped the Sutherland Springs, Texas mass shooting, acting as a good guy with a gun. We always welcome his expertise in this matter. Hey, Stephen, how are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well today. It's a beautiful day here in Texas.
You know, and I was talking about next month, the U.S. Court of Appeals is set to hear the number of cases. That may be this month, but I'm not sure if I have my my dates right on that. So what say you?
I think it's this month. Look, the Bruin case that just passed through the Supreme Court made it very obvious that all these states that were may-issue states, and that's significant. That means they might issue you a permit if you can show just cause. So the Bruin case overturned all that and said that people have the right to carry a gun. So now they're talking about permits and stuff, you know, where constitutional carry is in now looks like 25 states, about to be 26 states with Florida. What constitutional carry is, it is permitless carry. You don't have to have a permit to carry within those states, which is now half of the United States and about to be more than half the United States is about to have constitutional carry. But New York obviously will never be a constitutional carry until the Supreme Court rules that it has to be.
Yeah.
So Bruin said that you must issue permits. It's not a may issue. It's must issue states now.
Yeah, let me ask you, does the idea of having a permit, not being able to use it for constitutional or concealed carry, does that sound ridiculous to you?
It is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. So basically, New York, in the face of Bruin, has decided that they are going to turn around and say, we're going to limit where you can carry. You can't carry in any public place, on any street or anything. Even with a permit, you can't carry. They're making it just as much as they can impossible to carry, even though the Bruin case said that you have a right to.
Right.
And so Gun Owners of America, and you can find us at gunowners.org, Gun Owners of America, has filed suit in New York case and has filed an injunction to keep this from being enacted, essentially. And the case will be heard, and it will probably push on to the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court is going to tell New York that, you know, you can't do this. You can't prevent somebody from carrying everywhere, you know. And, you know, these states are pushing these things, yeah. And they're going to end up getting where the Supreme Court says, you know what, we don't even have to have permits anymore, where the right of the people shall not be infringed. And that's the case. That's what's going to ultimately happen. And this is important because shall not be infringed means exactly what it says.
Yeah, yeah. Like you say, you know, both the Supreme Court, Second Amendment of the Constitution, also against them. Now, there have been a number of complaints surrounding New York's recent anti-gun legislature. Do you believe they're warranted, and do you believe the U.S. Court of Appeals will have no trouble overturning it this time?
I don't think the U.S. Court of Appeals can take what Bruin said and rule any other way. And it's going to force a lot of states to... and. Understand gunowners.org. Mm-hmm. Understand we're at the tip of the spear. We're fighting these things in each individual state also. Right along with California, we're about to overturn what they call high-capacity magazine bans and what is actually standard-capacity magazine bans, because these pistols and rifles were designed to have these magazine capabilities. And so we're about to overturn that in the state of California as well. So when that happens, that's going to have a far-reaching impact on other states that decide to. Illinois is in the fight right now. They're trying to do assault weapons ban and magazine capacity ban and things like that, and we're fighting that. We're fighting and for your gun rights.
Yeah, listener, remember, gunowners.org, gunowners.org. Stephen, what do you think New York might attempt next if the legislature somehow ends up being overturned?
Well, you know, I just don't know what they can legally attempt. What they're attempting right now is illegal according to our Constitution anyway. So I don't know exactly what they're going to attempt next, because they're certainly not following our Constitution. Nor do they care what's going on with our Supreme Court. They're trying to override the Supreme Court. So I don't know what they're going to try to attempt next.
Yeah.
But you can best bet whatever it is that they attempt next will be met with gunowners.org, Gun Owners of America, and we are going to fight statewide, nationally, and to the end. So we do local, state, and national.
You know, and you need as much support, listener. They need as much support as they can possibly get. And that's why that website is so important. Gunowners.org. It's real simple. Gunowners.org. You know, I wanted to quote a Frederick Douglass quote here, and I'm pretty sure you've heard it because you're involved with guns, Stephen, but it says, quote, "A man's right risked in three boxes, the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box. Love that saying. Anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd like for you to tell the listener, in case they haven't heard your story, more about your hero with a gun incident, they call it, in 2017, and the importance of someone really being ready against an active shooter. This happened in 2017 in Texas.
November 5th, 2017, a crazy man came into First Baptist Church, Sutherland Springs, shooting people and killing. He started out outside a 100-year-old church, shooting through the windows and the walls, and moved inside and started murdering people inside the church. I was a neighbor. I heard the gunshots, and I grabbed an AR-15, and I ran over and engaged him and took him out. He had on class 3 body armor, a ballistic bulletproof helmet.
Wow.
And I took my own rifle and ran across the street and engaged that shooter. Had I not had a rifle, had I just had a pistol, it might have turned out very different for me because, again, he had on body armor. And they call me the barefoot defender because I ran across the street with no shoes on.
Man, I'm telling you, it's like, well, there was one advantage, you know, if you're not wearing your shoes, maybe he didn't hear you coming, you know, the soft, soft steps coming with the AR-15, yeah,
well,
maybe somebody higher up was on your side that day, you know.
Oh, I think God was protecting me and called me out at that moment, as a matter of fact, and I truly believe God steadied my hand and kept me calm. I was able to put 6 shots on him. I ran behind a truck for cover.
Uh-huh.
He hit the truck in front of me. He shattered the windshield of the car behind me, and he hit the house behind me. But I was able to get 6 out of 6 rounds on him.
Wow.
And I truly believe that, yes, God was in control of that.
And probably practicing with guns legally helped you be the good guy and get those 6 shots right where you wanted them to go, you know. Tell us more about gunowners.org, gunowners.org. What can people get out of that? Does it tell them their rights and how to handle weapons? What's all involved, as much as possible?
If you go to gunowners.org, you can look around there. You can sign up to be a member. You can also you can look at what we're doing legislatively, you know, as far as our fight and what we're doing. You can also look at what we're doing legally now. We're fighting pistol brace bans. We're fighting where they're doing mental background checks from 18 to 20-year-olds and,
wow,
and delaying them from getting guns that they want to purchase. You know, it's funny because we rely on 18 to 20-year-olds for our military, and we send them overseas to fight with M16s and M1 Abrams tanks. And then when they come home, we don't think that they should be able to own a gun. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a maturity issue. I know 14-year-olds that are more mature than 40-year-olds. This is a mental health issue, and that needs to be addressed. When somebody goes off and murders people, that is not maturity. That is mental health. The shooter in Sutherland Springs was 27 years old. The shooter in Las Vegas was over 60 years old. And to penalize your average 18 to 20-year-old is ridiculous.
Boy, get them while they're young, really, I'll tell you. Well, we have run out of time, Stephen, and I certainly appreciate, first off, for your great effort that you accomplished in the Texas mass shooting, and also for all you're doing for Gun Owners of America. And remember, listener, the website is gunowners.org, and Stephen, his website is Stephen Wilford, WILEFORD.com, StephenWilford.com. Thank you, sir. Look forward to our next visit.
Thank you. God bless.
You too. Coming up next, Daniel Greenfield.
Think of the many sacrifices it took to establish and to preserve liberty in the United States. Think of the many generations that went before us that spilled blood to preserve that liberty, our freedoms. And look at how long it took, not very long, for us to lose many of those liberties. One flu season, together with lockdowns galore, and so many of those liberties just slipping away. In the United States today, we see an American government that is weakening abroad, even as it oppresses its people at home. We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder. Hey, I want to go to a gentleman that I haven't had on in quite a while, Mr. Daniel Greenfield, Shulman Journalist Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He writes a journalistic beat at Front Page Magazine and its blog, The Point, and also his own blog, Sultan Kanish, which is everything from Islamic terrorism in Argentina to leftist politics in America. And his website, Sultan Kanish, that's SULTANKNISH.blogspot.com. And, Daniel, I think you're still writing for Front Page Magazine, too, right? FrontPageMag.com?
I do have that honor of working for David Horowitz at the Freedom Center.
Absolutely. Hey, got a couple of stories that we're going to try to squeeze in here today. The first one is the L.A. mayor wants to dump right-wing cops, bring in some failed diversity hires. You know how that's going to turn out. And the other one is that this mayor, mentored by Buttigieg, has been busted for child porn. So, listener, you know you want to hang on for that one. Yes. Let's get into this L.A. story. Does she want Memphis? Because that's how you get Memphis. Mayor Karen Bass, democratically selected choice of ballot harvesters whose ballots all came in conveniently late after numbers showed that she had lost the race for a second time. She now has plans to fight crime. Well, maybe not necessarily the crime, but the police, you say, right?
Oh, absolutely. The police union ran ads against her during the election. Uh-huh. And as we see in Chicago, where Mayor Lightfoot was just forced out, having the police union come out against you has consequences. So she wants to go after the police. She obviously does not want to go after criminals. What she wants to do is reconfigure the police with people who are going to support her, get rid of the people who are against her, and obviously crime is going to continue increasing. But she was one of the police defunders back in the day, even though she disavowed it. And this is absolutely up her political alley.
Well, and you say Bass is looking to remove obstacles, so to speak, quote-unquote, for police recruits who fail to initially qualify for training as a means of further diversifying the LAPD. When I read that statement, Daniel, maybe you can explain it to me. Even if you have a recruit, you know, that may fail the test, well, with somebody that's really into diversifying, wouldn't they maybe fail the proper procedure also?
They very well could, and we saw the consequences in Memphis. Memphis announced that it was going for diversity, which uh-huh. meant that it was going to sideline the police officers and police recruits who was bringing in without actually passing the appropriate test, without meeting the appropriate standards. And when you have people coming in who don't meet those standards, they're not going to be reliable, and the consequences are going to be bad. They can be bad in various different forms. We saw in Memphis what happens when you have officers who are not actually meeting those standards.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're talking about the officers who took it upon themselves to beat the heck out of that guy, and he died. What was his last name? Rene? I'm sorry, I can't remember his last name. Now, Los Angeles, according to Bass, needs fewer experienced cops and more failed applicants who get in because they meet this quota. And you say that's bad enough in most lines of work, especially medicine, where this is rapidly becoming a reality, but very much so in police work, where hollowing out a department culture, dumping experienced officers and replacing them with incompetent diversity hires can get people on the other side of the thin blue line killed. Probably get killed yourself because you may not know how to defend yourself. Boy, it is just amazing how this diversity seems to be their answer for everything.
It is, and there's a reason for it. One of those is that, as I mentioned earlier, they're bringing in people who are not just diverse. They're bringing in people who are going to support their political agenda, who are more likely to be connected to the party, and they're doing this also under the guise of diversity. So you're a Democrat mayor, and you want to bring in a whole lot of diversity. Mostly you're bringing in Democrats into a department that might trend more Republican, or at least someone more conservative or moderate middle of the road. And they want to neuter those departments. They want to make sure those departments are not going to oppose their agenda. In the process, they create departments that are absolutely useless for fighting crime, and crime goes even further up.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to continue with more from Daniel Greenfield, Shulman Journalist Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and it's Sultan Kanish, SultanKanish, .blogspot.com, also writing for Front Page Mag. Daniel Greenfield. We'll be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Hugh Jackman plays a high-powered businessman who's thrilled with his new baby and new wife, played by Vanessa Kirby, when his first spouse, Laura Dern, asks him to take in their emotionally scarred teenage son in the searing and unforgettable The Son, now playing in theaters.
What's going on?
I don't know what's happening to me.
You came to tell me what a good dad you are. What do you want? Applause?
That's my little boy. I can't give up on him.
Based on a stage play by director co-writer Florian Zeller, this is part of a trilogy that includes The Father, which won an Oscar for Anthony Hopkins, who makes a brief appearance here. In this film, all of the acting is award-worthy. All the characters, despite their conflicts, are richly and sympathetically portrayed in a superb film that captures both the rewards and heartbreak of family life. It's rated PG-13, 4 stars for The Son, one of the best films of 2023 so far.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Colombo's. Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Colombo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Colombo's family Italian recipes? Colombo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, Magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Colombo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Colombo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Colombo's, mangia bene.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines. And you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest Daniel Greenfield, Shulman Journalist Fellow at David Horowitz Freedom Center. And you know, Daniel, it sort of sounds like, well, they lost a Lori Lightfoot, you know, in Chicago, and Los Angeles now gets to celebrate Mayor Karen Bass. You know, why didn't they just bring Lori down here? She'd probably do the same thing that the mayor's going to do. Seems like they're on the same track, doesn't it?
I wouldn't be hugely surprised. Well, you know, one group of people gets fooled. Then they wake up enough to demand a change, and then another group of people gets fooled. You can't fool all the people all the time, maybe, but you can fool them state by state and city by city, and that's what we see in politics today.
Yeah. You say one provision says the deputy mayor will work in conjunction with a third party to evaluate the personnel process and identify obstacles to entry for recruits who fail to qualify for training. It almost sounds like the training doesn't have any involvement, you know, of push-ups, you know, or running the course or anything like that. It's the training's going to be all maybe up in your mind and the woke, right?
Well, we know a lot of that has already been dismantled. New York, the NYPD is getting rid of a lot of its remaining fitness standards. And I recall just when I was living in New York City and I'd be by the river in a place where the police academy recruits would go jogging by. And I remember when it shifted over the years. And this year was, you know, these big, mostly guys who are in the 5'10", 6' range. Just beefy and healthy, and, you know, the people actually want dealing with an emergency. And then the number of judges ordered that standards be lowered, and, you know, you have these, like, 5 foot women who are on the very weighty side, and I'm not saying they're not very nice, dedicated people, but they don't remotely meet normative fitness standards, and they're trying to keep up, and they're not keeping up because it's not realistic.
And you might have,
this is what happens.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, this is what happens when you lower fitness standards, which quite a few police forces have.
You might even see some 4.5 feet men wearing dresses, carrying their little rifles
these days,
or something.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. You say that we think the particular provision for an ideal is dangerous. And Tom Sagua, is that his name? S-A-G-G-A-U, L.A. Police Protective League?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the police unions are pushing back on this to their credit.
Yeah, and they should. And you also mentioned if you have police officers that can't make minimum qualifications or attain minimum standards, for instance, there are recruits that have been in the academy that just can't score the minimum requirements for a physical fitness test. And 100 is the maximum score. 50 is acceptable. There are folks that are scoring under 10, and that's just dangerous. And that's probably the ones that you just got through mentioning, the ones that are scoring under 10. Boy, I'll tell you, it's... And it's almost like they could put a sign up, you know, if you're conservative or if you believe in the Constitution or if you believe in law and order, need not apply. That's what it almost sounds like.
Well, quite a few more traditional officers are already leaving the department. That's one reason they have so many openings. In the wake of the Black Lives Matter riots, politicians just hanging out the police to dry, letting them know that they will have no support if anything happens. So many officers decided, we're just going to go work in the suburbs where we live anyway. We don't want to be in these big cities. And the result is they now have more and more of a shortage than ever, but they're still trying to push out the career officers, bringing people who are inexperienced. but warping the standards because they assume that, and this is happening at the college level, at every level, if the diversity hires are not meeting the test standards, that means the standards must be racist, they must be somehow biased, rather than that maybe these people need more help, or maybe the metric should be on getting the best people, not the people who fit a racial quota.
Have you been privileged to see any of the tests and the answers for their tests that they have?
We're not talking anything high-end sophisticated here. You have to be able to know the rules, which is quite important. You have to actually, you know, like a lot of tests with tests are focused on is seeing that you're a responsible, functional adult. That's why businesses require high school diplomas or these days college diplomas. It's not necessarily relevant directly to your job in some cases, but it shows that you can do basic things like show up on time, understand the question, pay attention, answer it, memorize the answers. And people who can't do those things are, even if it's not directly germane to their job, they're going to be disastrous on the job. And when it comes to police work, there's a lot of procedures that you need to know. Unlike television, so much of this is memorizing and knowing various protocols and various responses to different events. And you know, like the Memphis cops that we saw on video in the Tyree Nichols death, they had absolutely no knowledge of procedures based on their behavior. And that is something we're increasingly seeing with a lot of the newer recruits. They don't know the rules, which means that they just make up or they do whatever they want to on the spot. If they can't be bothered to memorize, to remember, to pass fitness tests, for that matter, to get into shape and stay in shape, they're not going to be very trustworthy on their job, and that's just the reality.
Yeah, you know, and it's unfortunate, but I think, especially here in L.A., you know, if you're a police officer and you're out on the street, and especially in the city area, and I'm thinking about smash and grab, Daniel, you know, you don't have to learn too much about that. You just back up and get out of their way and let them take whatever they're taking and run off. That's what it looks like every time I've seen it on film, you know, smash and grab. It's changed, you know. Policing seems to have changed for the worse, and now they want to make it with weaker police officers. Boy, I'm telling you, you're going down the wrong way. You had a new one that came out just a day or so ago. The mayor mentored by Buttigieg busted for child porn. You say before Mayor Patrick, is it Wojahn? W-O-J-H-A-N?
Wojahn.
Wojahn, huh? Wojahn. Patrick Wojahn. Headed for College Park, Maryland, he was a key figure in the movement for what activists describe as marriage equality, both through an activist group and through his own relationships. And as one of nine plaintiff couples in the Dean versus Conway lawsuit that was filed in 2004, Coulter and his partner Rick Woljong saw 2 years of legal entanglements finally pay off with the judge's support of a same-sex marriage. Boy, you knew that was coming because of the name Buttigieg, I guess, right?
Yes, so he was a key figure in the activist bid to legalize gay marriage, and we were told the sob story about he and his boyfriend could not get married. His boyfriend might be deadly ill. We never heard about that again, and if they don't get married, he's not going to be able to care for him when he gets sick, and now it turns out what this guy was actually into was kids.
Ah, boy. And Wojahn was just a test case. He was also an activist, right?
Yes, he was an activist. He was heading an organization pushing gay marriage. Then he hooks up with Buttigieg, and Buttigieg mentors him. And he ends up running and becoming mayor of College Park, Maryland, which is where the University of Maryland is located.
Yeah, chair at the Equality Maryland Foundation. He even made it sound like he was mentored by Pete Buttigieg. And you say during his council elections and his first run as mayoral candidate, he knew that he had no choice but to run as an openly gay man because of his media prominence with the marriage equality lawsuit. Boy, I'll tell you, things are getting stranger and stranger.
They're getting more and more warped, and the more we allow them to get warped, well, there are obvious consequences, and the consequences are destructive. We see so much of this going on in our schools and our institutions. Where is this push to sexualize children coming from? Why must they have sexual materials in schools? Why must they have drag queen story hour in libraries and drag queens in school? What kind of normal people want to do this? Well, this gives us a certain amount of insight. These people are not concerned with civil rights. They're concerned with following their own deeply disturbing impulses, which focus on children. We always knew this. We were not allowed to say it.
Yeah, and look at what the teachers are doing, and especially the teachers that are objecting to not letting the parents know what's going on. And boy, there's a whole list of terrible things going on. You know, basically, they're butchering your children. Those are my words. You know, changing their sexes and everything else. But the teachers are not supposed to tell the parents, you know, what the little kid going to go home and say, guess what I did in math class today? We learned how to subtract. You know what I'm saying? It's but they're letting the teachers go. I hope there's going to be a lot of lawsuits, or there should be a law that you can't fire a teacher for not identifying something being done to children, you know, that the parents aren't aware of. It's this whole country is going crazy.
Well, it's being driven crazy by a very well-motivated campaign. And, you know, 20 years ago, we would know exactly what to call this. This is child abuse.
Right.
We would know that the people who do this are child predators, and invariably the people who are doing this are child predators. But they're dressing this up as civil rights, as gender-affirming care. They've got a lot of buzzwords for this, but the process ends up with destroying children. And, you know, we know exactly what the sort of people who want to do this are really after, and occasionally they get caught, and of course the media does not talk about this. If there's been some construction figures in situation, it was a indigenous guy, his mentee, behaving as a key activist, much like Sam Brisson, who was the nuclear energy regulatory guy, who was also an activist in this movement. When they get caught, the media does its best to bury the story.
Yeah, and then they want to go and push it as far as they can. And, you know, like the drag queen story hours and things like that, they got away with it. And so now it's like another one of their nice words, pedophilia, you know, being recognized in a lot of places. It's, I don't know, are people, in your opinion, you think most people are just afraid to speak up or get involved because they're saying, well, it's not bothering me now. My kids are out of school or something like that. Is it sort of like I don't want to raise any, you know, hell, so to speak?
A lot of parents that have stepped up, that have gone to school board meetings, plenty of others are worried and afraid. And, yes, they conquer and divide. There are plenty of people for whom they think this is not an issue. But it becomes an issue even if you don't have children or grandchildren. It becomes an issue for society in general. This is the society they're trying to create, one in which that has eliminated the family. And if you want to imagine what a society that has eliminated the family looks like, well, we actually get a bit of a preview in certain areas we were discussing previously. Crime is heavily linked to broken families. It's linked to children who grow up without their parents, who grow up in foster care. That is where so much of the violence and the crime is coming from. A society that destroys the family is a society you do not want to live in because it is not a livable place.
Yeah. A question here on this, the article you wrote, Mayor Mentored by Buttigieg Busted for Child Porn. Where can the listeners read that? Is that Front Page Mag, or do they go to your blog, or where's the best place?
It's Front Page Magazine, frontpagemag.com, The Point. We're regularly updated all the time. There are articles in this case. These are kinds of shorter stories that just pick up on what's going on in the news and provide context that the media is not providing. The media widely reported the case. They didn't report Wojcin's political affiliation. They didn't report the Buttigieg connection. They didn't report the fact that he was a gay marriage activist. All those are quite important points. And again, if there had been a conservative Christian or Orthodox Jewish figure who had been arrested in this kind of charges, we'd be hearing all that and we'd be getting all the context. So one of the things we do is we provide the context that the media does not. We do the background research the media will not do.
Right. But at least you told him that the guy did want to get into bicycling, part of his mentorship, so to speak. The other thing that the mayor of College Park, Maryland, resigned from his position, and that was, I guess, Wednesday, ahead of being arrested on child pornography charges. And the PGPD investigators said that the social media account belonged to Mayor Patrick Wohan. Did I get his last name right that time? W-O-J-H-A-N. Is it Wohan?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure. It almost looks like Wohan. Anyway, authorities conducted a search at his residence last month where they recovered multiple cell phones, a storage device, a tablet, and a computer. Wonder why he had so many cell phones. Maybe he had so many identities that we didn't know about.
Well, one possibility is he would need burner cell phones if he was engaging in doing more than just viewing materials. If he was actually trying to contact young boys, you would want burners for that, for any kind of illegal activity. Most normal people don't need more than one phone. The people who need more than one phone are very often drug dealers, you know, having affairs, or in this case, doing something even more disturbing than that.
I wonder what Buttigieg, you know, because let me give the listener this. Wohan, 47, was arrested, taken into custody by authorities early Thursday morning. He was charged with 40 counts of possession of child exploitative material, 16 counts of distribution of child exploitative material. 16 counts. And you wonder, you know, I wonder if he was saying, hey, Buttigieg's my buddy, Buttigieg's my mentor, if that name even came up, or Buttigieg once again escaped having to show up for someplace.
Well, I think the Buttigieg campaign is going to be taking down the videos of Wojan promoting him, because the campaign had all these 15 mayors in America promoting Buttigieg, and I think that guy's video is going to be edited out. Also, he was prominent in a lot of White House efforts. I've seen videos where John Kerry is leading discussions on so-called climate change, and he's there. He's there in other White House events, because the thing about College Park, Maryland, is it's this kind of suburb that has the University of Maryland, that has a lot of people who are kind of D.C. adjacent living there, people who were at one point involved in government, people who might be involved in government. So
we're
this is a politically connected area.
We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be back and wrap things up with the one and only Daniel Greenfield, Shulman Journalist Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. And don't go away. Be right back.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance 7 is your answer. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance 7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance 7 works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping, plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. 1-800-259-7039 or go to balance7.com and don't forget the code word Fred.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here. My pleasure to have Daniel Greenfield. It's been a long time. Shulman Journalist Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. And you know, Wojin, 47 years of age, after he was arrested, taken into custody by authorities, charged, as I mentioned a moment ago, 40 counts of possession of child material, explicit material, 16 counts.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Suede at the network, and we just happen to be live across America and also around the world at crntalk.com. Hey, by the way, when next we meet, Reese Lloyd, author of The Flag Amendment, he is going to be talking about A Tale of Two Cities. Butt-a-jig, 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 yes. Frank Savato, host of the Underground USA podcast, he's going to be here with all of his latest. Right now, I want to go to my guest and, well, at least tell you about my guest, Selwyn Duke. He's a writer for The New American, and Selwyn has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Synod Learning. Selwyn's a very, very busy guy. He has appeared on television, a frequent guest on great radio shows just like this one. His website is selwynduke.com, and now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, 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 Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl.
Oh, yes. Rides in here on his little bicycle, which was brought over in the back of a mobile car, and then he rode it one block, and that would be Selwyn Duke. Hello, Selwyn. How are you?
Hi there, Chuck. How am I? Well, my head is getting nice and swelled because I'm thinking I'm probably the only guest of yours who has his very own theme song. Look at that. How are you?
Well, let's see. Talking about guests, I think you may be right. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that. The others are going to get jealous. I'll send
it
right now.
Yeah.
Eat your hearts out.
Yeah, Elvis wanted one, you know, whenever I'd have Elvis on, but it was a different Elvis. He had never recorded any music, just a guy named Elvis. But
That's another story. Anyway, yeah. Actually, I made that up. I'm just having one of those days, you know. I'm fighting my heater. Do you ever have that where it can never just say, here's the pleasant temperature you want? You know what I mean? And I think possibly my heater has come down with COVID. So
have I experienced that? You should try living in my place. When it's 45 degrees out, I'm getting cooked. When it's 25 degrees out, I'm a little chilly.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's weird. And it's got all the different numbers on there. It just doesn't want to. I don't know what it is. I think, yes, I always come up with the right answers, okay, as I protect myself. I think the reason it keeps getting hotter is because the show, all of a sudden, boy, it's getting hotter and hotter. It's just warmer. Oh, you're doing such a great job. Yes. Uh-huh. So that must be why I was freezing for the first hour. Okay.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
All right. Hey, I got one here that you did, a war on normality. YouTuber called Abilis for curing blindness. Why would you do that just because someone's curing blindness? Well, leave it to Selwyn. I sometimes wonder where in the world you find these things, because nobody else hears about them until you get on this show or other shows. But you say being normal in the sense of optimal ain't what it used to be. No?
No, not at all, not at all. The war on normality. Now, some might be asking, what would Selwyn Duke know about normality? Okay, fair enough. But anyway, yeah. Being normal in the sense of optimal, Chuck, ain't what it used to be. Just like that old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be.
Yeah,
and the reason is that people now, not all of us anyway, are recognizing normality as normality. Not all of us are. And anyway, that's what I tie this issue into, that larger issue. And this is an example. This is a story about this YouTuber, okay, who actually facilitated the curing of blindness. He funded medical procedures for 1,000 people who were either blind or visually impaired and restored their vision, and that was a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it turns out this fellow is a YouTube sensation, Chuck, who goes by the name Mr. Beast. Now, his real name is Jimmy Donaldson. Now, if you think that sounds ridiculous, Mr. Beast, oh, that's so frivolous, what's he doing with his life? Well, let me tell you something. I had never heard of this guy, but it turns out that he's the highest-earning creator on YouTube. He's got a record-breaking 136 million subscribers. And I looked up his net worth. It's estimated to be $94.45 million. So before laughing at him.
Could you, when you decide to give him a call, tell him I said hi, okay? I'll tell you something, too, you know, and I think about the second or third paragraph here. You mentioned, you know, that he's getting all this flack for doing what Jesus did.
Yeah,
I don't think you mentioned that, did you? Whenever you were
no, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't.
That's
he didn't
like
do it single-handedly.
Yeah,
he didn't do it single-handedly or supernaturally like Jesus did. But yeah, true. He was just doing what Jesus did.
Yeah.
So anyway, this person is worth almost $100 million. I wish I could get 136 million people to listen
to me.
Hell,
I may change my sexual attitude and date the guy.
That would go over nowadays. I bet you, Chuck, that would buttress your career.
You can see
the headline now. Conservative radio host comes out as homosexual, and you're going to become really big.
Would you give me the definition of that word buttress, please? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I want
to
move my career in that
the support and help. Yeah. I shouldn't use those $70 words, right?
I know, really. Yeah.
But anyway,
36 subscribers. My goodness, he's almost caught up with us, hasn't he?
Yeah, I know. Really. Anyway, so what this fellow does is he basically puts videos out there, obviously, and they're multifaceted videos. They could be videos about planting trees or cleaning the world's dirtiest beaches here. I'm quoting this fellow now, an American thinker. He writes, there are adventures and social experiments also portrayed. And then American thinker writes, but most importantly, he uses his reach to perform acts of charity. Most of his videos receive more than 100 million views. That's quite impressive when you consider that our population in the U.S. is about 335 million people. Anyway, but now he's being accused of ableism. Now, just so you know, that's not the phenomenon where you kill your brother like when Cain killed Abel. No, not at all. This is ableism when you show prejudice against people who are disabled. That's the word that the left has conjured up for that. Anyway, so again, because he helped cure blindness. Now let's get into this. So he put out this video where he showed a lot of the people who were helped, whose vision was restored. And one of the critics that I saw on Twitter called his efforts demonic, okay? Said, there's something so demonic about this, and I can't even articulate what it is. And they didn't like the thumbnail that he used at the beginning of the video, right? And I can understand, look, it does look a little exploitative. I'm not going to deny that. Now, what's in his heart? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. But anyway, so another tweeter wrote, the inherent evil of rich people aside, I think we've got some jealousy there, huh? aside, he's a bad person for this thumbnail alone. Again, referring to that thumbnail I just mentioned. And then Mr. Beast himself, he pushed back. He said, Twitter says rich people should help others with their money. Me, okay, I'll use my money to help people, and I promise to give away all my money before I die, every single penny. And then YouTube is not happy about that. So.
Wow.
Anyway, so then someone else said, well, he's been making exploitative content for a long time. Why are we shocked by this? And person concluded, I'm glad 1,000 people can now see. Doesn't make him a good person for making that happen. Okay, now let's get into the deeper issues, okay? I pointed out, no, it doesn't make him a good person. That's absolutely true. But you know what it does make him? It makes him an effective one, okay? And here's his business model again from American Thinker, quote, he makes videos of charitable endeavors, which helps him to reap profits via views on his content. A portion of this profit is once again used for charity, which becomes his content. The cycle continues. And American Thinker calls this commendable. Some critics call it contemptible. What is the truth? Okay, the truth is this. We don't know what's in the man's mind and heart. We don't know. Look, maybe he has mercenary motives and he's a con man extraordinaire, Chuck. Or maybe he's authentically altruistic. That's possible, too. But you know what's far more likely? Far more likely, since people are complex beings who often have multiple motivations, some noble, maybe some ignoble, is that he both wants to earn money and maybe derives some pleasure from helping others. Now, you could say going even deeper, well, if he derives pleasure from helping others, is that really altruistic? Or is that another selfish motive because he's deriving pleasure? Well, it's a good question, but we really don't know. But here's what we can know. That's between him and God at the end of the day, okay? And what else is certain is this, and this is a very important point, okay? What this fellow Donaldson is doing, Chuck, is he's harnessing market forces to effect good, to do charity, and that absolutely is good. You know what it reminds me of? I don't have this in my article, but you'll remember, Chuck, because we discussed this at one time, a lot of press was given to these lion hunts in Africa. You saw pictures of these rich Westerners standing over a lion, and everyone was so outraged. Oh, they shot this beautiful, majestic beast. And I can understand that, why people feel that way, why that's their first reaction at first blush. But here's the thing, what I discovered. What I discovered was this actually is a way of harnessing market forces for the doing of good. Why? Well, as this one scientist put it at the Boubia Valley Conservancy, which works to preserve lion populations in Africa, he said, look, our reserve has a carrying capacity of 500 lions. When their population goes above that number, we have to cull them. Now, we can either spend money and do it ourselves, or we can let a rich Westerner come here, give us $25,000 to hunt one lion. We do that 20 times. And I'm just giving you an example now. Uh-huh. We make $500,000, and guess what? They can use that to fund further conservation efforts. So what is better?
Yeah.
Not having these hunts or having them. That's just a good example, again, of harnessing market forces for the doing of good. Okay.
In their case, and you're in their case, they drew the line, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you're right. You know, but, I remember the first time I started seeing those pictures. And I was thinking, my goodness. And then they'd even transpose it. You know, it'd be Trump and Pence. You know what I
mean?
Our two brothers that nobody liked. But, you know, you have to do that. It's like you got to get the weeds out of the yard, so to speak. But go ahead.
Right. No, my point is this, and this is a really important issue. You have to realize that far more good can be done through the harnessing of market forces than through government action. It really is true. If you don't marshal market forces toward that end, then you're not going to accomplish too much. I mean, just getting back to the lion situation in Africa, Chuck, you have to remember that Africans tend to view these animals as nuisances, okay, because they kill their livestock, they can threaten their children, so Africans sometimes poison them. However, once you make it worthwhile to keep these lions around, you know what else happens? I didn't mention this. Some big African landowners will open their private lands to these lions to facilitate the breeding of them because they realize they can make money off them. So it's just good all the way around. But anyway, that was going off on a tangent. So another person who criticized this, Donaldson, said, "More free nationalized health care, less charity porn from the ultra-rich." Okay, and you know, maybe it is charity porn, but here's something no one said. I came up with this, okay? I think many of Donaldson's critics are guilty of disability porn. Yeah, they are. And what am I talking about? Well, I'm going to get into that. I know we're coming up on a break, yeah. But this is going to knock your socks off. This is absolutely going to knock your socks off, what some people have said.
And I want you to know that Selwyn Duke is using his ESP, and it's mainly on males who are listening to this radio program. Some of you are driving, some of you are sitting down, but he has the ability to know. You're not going to believe this, but this is a true fact. Selwyn Duke has the ability to know if you're male and you're sitting down or you're driving, if there is a slight possibility that Selwyn Duke can knock your socks off. Now, keep looking.
That's right.
Are they moving? Oh, there went one of mine, Selwyn. You still got it. I'm going to go get that sock off the wall, and I'll be right back. And we will continue. This is an excellent article. The War on Normality. YouTuber called Abelis for curing blindness. Yeah. Jealousy, I think, is involved in a lot of that. Selwyn Duke, selwynduke.com.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. That's 800-349-6855.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and it's selwynduke.com, selwynduke.com. And we continue now talking about the Lions, and we are drawing the line here on this one. Yes, sir. And charity porn is coming up. See, that's the way you get them to hang on there, Selwyn.
Yeah, you know, Chuck, it's interesting because we were talking about the people who are criticizing this rich YouTuber for helping others, for restoring their vision. And you mentioned that, well, jealousy lies behind a lot of this. And absolutely, that's true, because when someone says, less charity porn from the ultra-rich, well, that's a message there that the green-eyed monster is at work. And I'm going to go off on another tangent with something very interesting. Now, Chuck, if you don't like these tangents, then you can just channel Bob Grant, if you remember him, that Bob late Grant. Talk show host, and say, listen, pal, stick to the subject or get off the phone.
That was
sort of his attitude.
We're not
talking about,
it's like the old Putnam days, you know. We're not talking about dogs now. Come on.
But it's interesting talking about liberal people who are jealous of others' wealth. You know, they claim when they talk about the redistribution of wealth that they care about the poor and the downtrodden, and that's what motivates them. But no, it's that they have, as Churchill put it, a philosophy of envy. That's what socialism is all about. And something relating to this is, in 2007, I think it was, Peter Schweitzer wrote this article titled, Don't Listen to the Liberals, Right-Wingers Really Are Nicer People, Latest Research Shows. And they conducted this research, and one part of it was they conducted this game. I don't know exactly how it worked, but you could try to make money, you could take money from others. Well, you know what they found out? Left-wingers were far, far more likely than right-wingers to be willing to sacrifice some of their own money if they could take even more money from someone else, cause someone else to lose even more money. So
was that the pyramid thing they had going? Was that what?
No, I really don't know. But it illustrates the point that what drives this, it's all posturing when left-wingers say, oh, we care so much about the poor. That's why we don't want to see Bill Gates have so much money. No, what drives them is envy. And by the way, I'm no fan of Bill Gates. I'm not defending him. But anyway, back to the topic here. So I understand the criticism so far. A lot of people have said, well, this fellow is being exploitative. Okay, maybe he is. But here's where it gets really weird. And you're going to see why I call this disability porn. Okay, I'm quoting American Thinker now. BuzzFeed's Kelly Weekman said there was a huge problem with the Donaldson video because, quote, it seems to regard disability as something that needs to be solved. Oh, why? Why would that idea ever occur to anyone, right?
Really. Yeah.
I'll continue quoting. The Daily Caller writer Julian Adorni refers to Is Everyone Really Equal? Written by Robin DiAngelo of White Fragility fame and Aslam Sensoy. The authors refer to a hypothetical doctor who asks a disabled person, we have the technology. Why suffer unnecessarily? This question is branded as ableist for attempting to erase the humanity of the individual by endeavoring to cure his disability. Wow. And then
humanity.
Steve Aquino, I'm quoting again, Steve Aquino, who has multiple disabilities, writes that The biggest problem with wanting to cure quote-unquote blindness is that it reinforces a moral superiority of sorts by those without disabilities over those who are disabled. Well, actually, no, it doesn't. He completely made that up. No one has ever implied that there's some moral superiority. But anyway, so this fellow Aquino has slammed Mr. Beast's video as systemic ableism on display, implying that disability should be eradicated, cured. I'm quoting American Thinker again, okay? Again, quoting it. Aquino also called it inspiration porn meant to portray abled people as the selfless heroes waging war against the diabolical villain known as disability. And then this fellow Aquino tweeted, it gets even more ridiculous. There's a new video out from a highly prominent YouTuber on curing blindness that really rubs me the wrong way. It's literally a bunch of abled people effectively shouting that having a disability is bad and less than. I'm still plenty blanked mad about this. I'm a blind person. You're telling me my existence is somehow less than and pitiful because I can't see? Well, I'm sorry. That's disability porn right there. You know, now let me just say, I know most blind people would never, ever think of saying anything like that. They just live their lives. But this is absolutely crazy. And I'm pretty sure that this fellow Aquino's blindness is irremediable, and that's why he takes this position. But anyway,
well, then, I'll tell
I think we're coming up on a break.
Yeah, we are coming up on the break. And is it binocular diplopia? Is that the right word?
Yep.
Binocular, okay. Because I was seeing binoculars, you know, and they're double vision, yes. We're going to be right back with Selwyn Duke, and it's selwynduke.com, SELWYNDuke.com.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Hugh Jackman plays a high-powered businessman who's thrilled with his new baby and new wife, played by Vanessa Kirby, when his first spouse, Laura Dern, asks him to take in their emotionally scarred teenage son in the searing and unforgettable The Son, now playing in theaters.
What's going on?
I don't know what's happening to me.
You came to tell me what a good dad you are. What do you want? Applause?
That's my little boy. I can't give up on him.
Based on a stage play by director co-writer Florian Zeller, this is part of a trilogy that includes The Father, which won an Oscar for Anthony Hopkins, who makes a brief appearance here. In this film, all of the acting is award-worthy. All the characters, despite their conflicts, are richly and sympathetically portrayed in a superb film that captures both the rewards and heartbreak of family life. It's rated PG-13, 4 stars for The Son, one of the best films of 2023. So far.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Kaanapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Kaanapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with my guest Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, selwynduke.com. So now you have a slight little, it's not a confession, right? It's just something that most people don't know about Selwyn Duke, I guess. And
I was just mentioning, relating to this topic, that I actually have a mild handicap myself. It's called binocular diplopia, and that's double vision. In my case, it's just in my far left field of vision. I've had it since birth. And I never really thought of it as a disability when I was a kid because it didn't affect my life for the most part. And as I point out, Chuck, in the article, you know, it's really a blessing and a curse. Now, it's a blessing when I see a thing of beauty and I want to see two of it, right? That's a good thing. But you know when it's a curse? Like when I accidentally look hard left and see maybe a Joe Biden or a Michael Moore, and it's like you scream, oh, no, no, please.
Well, you know
please.
What? When
so they didn't double up.
Because I never knew this, you know. But whenever I read that, you know, that seeing double vision in the left eye, right? Because you talk about
how. My hard left field of vision. Yeah, hard left field of vision.
Yeah, and I was thinking, well, maybe that affected you when you were trying to become a tennis pro.
Yeah, actually, I wondered about that maybe I don't track moving objects as well as someone else would,
which ball, who knows.
But you're right.
Really want to hit, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I only see double if I look far left with my eyes, you know, but peripheral.
See, it's funny because I can relate to it because I had double vision. But it would only occur usually like on a Friday night, right after I got out of the bar, you know.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah,
in the Navy, right?
Yeah, there you go. We'll work on that one. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, as I point out in the article, you know, look, I wouldn't risk my vision to try to remedy the issue I have because it doesn't really affect my life. But if I could snap my fingers and remedy it, of course I would. And when we're talking now about these 1,000 people whose vision was restored by this Mr. Beast, I'm sure every one of them is very, very appreciative. So what these people are saying, these disability porn activists, is just absolutely ridiculous. And as I said, this Aquino character, who I quoted earlier, is like a transgender activist of the blind world. Now, why do I say that? Well, he apparently wants the abnormal classified as normal just to make himself feel better. And, well, how selfish is that? And by the way, something else I added here, you know that there actually are some handicapped people, again, not most of them, understand these are outliers, but some handicapped people who choose, quote, malfunctioning genes that produce disabilities like deafness or dwarfism, unquote, for their children. The New York Times reported that in 2006. Because why? They want kids just like themselves. Okay. No comment.
Sounds like child cruelty, though, doesn't it? When that fall under
it does
some kind
to
of
me.
Law? Yeah. Really?
It does to me. My understanding was parents usually wanted their kids to have things better than they did, but I don't know. I'll leave it there because I think it speaks for itself. But anyway, so this Aquino character, who was criticizing Mr. Beast for helping cure the blind, asked, are you Jesus? In essence, that's what he asks. So I ask this Aquino character, are you Satan? I mean, if there's something wrong, Chuck, with curing the blind, well, Jesus did that too. So shouldn't Aquino have a problem with him as well? Anyway, you know, the point here, though, is that we can derive a lesson from this, okay, from what Jesus did. Jesus, Chuck, cured the blind, but he didn't, quote, cure a boy fancying he should be a girl. Now, why is that? Well, because being a boy reflects God's design. It's normal. But blindness does not reflect God's design. It's not normal. That's why. And what is the larger issue here? The larger issue, and this is why I wrote about this, is that this is part of a wider and longstanding war on normality, okay? For instance, we saw recently, I mean, Joe Biden is in office. He is cognitively impaired. John Fetterman, the senator from Pennsylvania, he got elected despite having severe cognitive impairment and now is in some kind of facility, okay? And when people said, well, wait a second, whatever you think about these men's ideology, they're not fit for office, others came back with, that's ableist. You can't do that. Now, that was largely driven by political expediency. We know that. But nonetheless, it does reflect the time. This fellow Aquino, he's a good example. Okay? Another example is this. People now will say, if you say obesity is unhealthful, well, that's fat shaming. Being 450 pounds is just a lifestyle choice. And understand, Chuck, this is coming from a guy, me, who has defended the overweight. I did that years ago. I wrote articles about it when people would criticize them, the health Nazis, okay? Mm-hmm. But now we've done a 180-degree about-face. Now you can't even say it's unhealthful. Oh, no, you're fat-shaming, okay? Mm-hmm. But there's something even worse, and that's the war on moral normality. I also touch on that in the article. And years ago I wrote this essay. It was in 2016, titled, Where Have You Gone, George Washington? And what I pointed out, Chuck, in that essay is that by gradually robbing the, quote, good guys of their virtues, we've made the modern hero as relative as modern values, okay? And if you look at a lot of modern books and movies, you'll see that's true. The good guy, he isn't really good, and the bad guy, he isn't really bad. They're just on opposite sides of the law. So take your pick, kids, whatever works for you. You know, it's like the movie Cape Fear, Chuck. I'm sure you've seen the original. That was, I think, made in 1960, right? Then they had a remake in the 1990s. Now, I'll make this really fast. But in the original, what they portray is this criminal who has an axe to grind with a lawyer, and when he's out of prison, he tries to get even with this lawyer. Well, in the original, the criminal, who's played by Robert Mitchum, is just a bad guy. And the lawyer, who's played by Gregory Peck, is truly good. You can really see the contrast there. But in the remake, it's very, very different. The good guy, played by Nick Nolte, the lawyer, supposed good guy, isn't really good. He's cheating on his wife. He's got a horrible family life. He's just a weak, pathetic man. And any young boy looking at that wouldn't want to be him. There's no doubt about that. But the bad guy, how is he portrayed? Okay, he's portrayed by, what was it, Robert De Niro. I think that's not important. But anyway, he's portrayed as larger than life, as all-powerful. He can withstand pain without flinching. So, again, young boys are going to look at that. They're going to say, well, who would I rather be like? This lawyer who is pathetic and weak, or this bad guy, this glamorously evil guy who is all-powerful? Very, very destructive, very bad for society, but that is, again, the war on moral normality, okay? And then there's another example that I give in my article, okay? You look now, this has been going on for decades, you'll see in shows and films that prostitution is often portrayed now in a more positive light, like already in the 1983 movie Trading Places, you know, where they'll portray a prostitute as, just being sort of like you and I, just like the girl next door. She just has a different job, that's all, okay? So she's not a damaged and desperate woman with loose morals. No, not at all, you know? And in fact, when you portray them, when you exalt them, that's compassionate. That's fine and dandy, you know, until your daughter starts considering a call girl career. So that's the problem there. So anyway, but I conclude my article by saying, you know, if you think, though, that all these left-wingers who are waging this war on normality don't want norms, well, let not your heart be troubled, because they want norms. Human society always has norms. These left-wingers, Chuck, just want the politically correct norms that they devise. Yeah. They want people canceled for what they deem racism or sexism or ableism or for violation of all of their woke imperatives, okay? So that's what's going on. It's just complete hypocrisy. They're trying to turn morality on its head. They're destroying traditional normality, normality that has a basis in objective reality, and they're trying to replace it with this bizarre, distorted series of norms. Very, very destructive. And if you complain about it, well, then you're the bad guy because you're intolerant and you need to shut up because they're not intolerant. Just you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And plenty of them around there to tell you, you need to shut up. You need to shut up. Yes. Yeah. You know, yeah. When you think about, you know, choosing the alternative, pardon me, I noticed that you posted a interesting article here, and it is entitled, and this is, think about this one, listener, Stop Giving Money to People Who Hate You, all right? The New Anti-Woke Amazon-like Alternative. And I'm looking at this, and when I first looked at it, Selwyn, I was thinking, boy, you know, you took a commercial ad in the middle of your, you know, stuff that you wrote. Normally, you know, you'll just plug one thing. But anyway, America's Marketplace. And I got into this, and I started reading it, and it's along with what we were just talking about, you know, how wokeism has really got into people. And Selwyn says, if you're trying to give money to woke corporations that fund political correctness with your pocketbook, and then they laugh all the way to the bank, well, you now may be able to wipe that smile right off their faces, for there's a new big business player in town, and it's a patriotic online marketplace. And I thought, now, did you get a new sponsor? And no, that's not what it is. Selwyn digs into things that pretty interesting here, because if you don't like woke, and all this other, you know what, you might want to check this out. It's, what is it, Public Square, right?
Public Square, yep.
Yeah. And I'm trying to...
Well, it's very interesting.
Ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting, Chuck, because we've long had what I call this chasm between the pseudo-elite and the street. In other words, people on the street, those of us who are what they might call, quote, average people, we're not all that politically correct. So 70% of us might disagree with a woke norm, but you'll still see the pseudo-elites in business and elsewhere upholding that norm and enforcing it. And so how do you combat this? Well, you have to combat this by patronizing entities that are upholding traditionalism and rejecting wokeness. Well, this is an example of an effort in that regard. And not only that, this was on Tucker Carlson the other night. This Public Square is set to merge with Columbia, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, Acquisition Corporation. It's a $200 million deal. And the hope, Chuck, is that it'll give all of us an Amazon-like alternative to this increasingly woke business world. Now, this Public Square was launched nationwide 7 months ago. It hosts, Chuck, 50,000 patriotic vendors. It's processed millions of transactions. And it's backed by some big names in the conservative world. You've got Donald Trump Jr., Blake Masters, who is the Arizona Senate candidate. He's there. They're both advisors. And anyway, Donald Trump Jr. said, quote, people need to stop giving their money to businesses that hate them. We aren't going to defeat woke corporations by whining on Twitter. So anyway, I'm going to skip ahead here, but basically, the platform seems like it has potential. I went to it, Chuck, and one problem I had, and this was reflected in the comments under my article, was that you have to sign up and have an account with them. Now, I just had to enter, if I remember correctly, my name and my email address, so they weren't asking for a lot of information. And I did open an account, but that's a real stumbling block there. A lot of the commenters under my piece said, no, it was a no-go for them and they weren't going to do it. So I would advise these people, listen, you can't set up roadblocks between your business and the customers. So you've got to eliminate that like yesterday. You really do.
Yeah,
but it does seem to have potential. And anyway, it's a sign of the growing left-right divide in our country, as the Daily Mail put it. And anyway, so let me skip ahead again. But, you know, we have to understand, I think most of your listeners are acquainted with this, but political correctness is now the status quo in corporate America. I mean, there are examples, like major companies have been found conducting woke training here, I'm quoting Fox News, which involved putting marginalized staff above privileged staff, learning to decolonize their minds and combating aspects of an alleged white supremacy culture, such as perfectionism, individualism, and objectivity. Okay, Fox News reported that in 2021, because objectivity, Chuck, is so bad, because objectivity is what? That's reality, and if people abide by objectivity, then they'll say things like, no, if you're a boy, you can't turn into a girl, or if you're just a left-winger and you want free things, no, you don't get free things just because you want them. You actually have to be responsible in life and try to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. So they don't like objectivity. But there are other examples, too. I mean, CoverGirl, for instance, had a male CoverGirl on its cover, if you can believe that. Yeah. Lyft allows users to choose their pronouns. Gillette, that company that makes razors, advertised with a transgender teen's first shave. Wow. And PayPal banned users critical of Islam. Did you want to say something, Chuck? I'm sorry.
No. That, you know, the Gillette advertising, whenever I saw that, I said, oh, my goodness, yeah. That would make me turn the page real quick.
I know. It's unbelievable. And perhaps even worse still, Chuck, then you had all those corporations that donated money to the neo-Marxist organization Black Lives Matter. And how much? Approximately $100 million. And
but
of course,
the leaders got some really nice houses in real good locations in California, you know, mansions they were
they
able
did.
To buy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The leaders.
And that was a good thing if you think about it. I said it at the time because as bad as that is and as corrupt as it is, it would be even worse if they used all that money to further undermine our society by funding social engineering, right?
Yeah,
so actually, when they blow it on luxuries, that's preferable.
They could have bought a lot of matches, you know, with that $100 million.
Yeah, heck of a lot of matches.
got about 30 seconds before our break. But it is interesting, and, you know, and a lot of people just don't want to, like I say, the thing that kind of scares you is whenever you have to open up an account, you know, automatically with them.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, if you're going to go to Amazon, you know, you just, you know, figure out what you want, and then, you know, you don't have to open it up first, I don't think. But who knows?
No, you don't have to.
Yeah, okay. We're going to take a break, and we'll continue with this one here and a few other things here about this new organization. It is America's Marketplace, and it's Public Square. Is that publicsquare.com or org, or do you know?
You know, actually, I'm not sure. I think it's .com, but yes, I should know that. I apologize.
I accept your apology, and we shall return with Selwyn Duke.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
You experiencing pain? Back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain? Pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the
the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, and we are discussing this brand-new organization that opened up, America's Marketplace, and it's publicsquare.com. I check that out there, and you give them your email address, and then you come up with a password, and the rest is history. And then, of course, like every other place, Selwyn, they've got 100,000 little tiny words that you can read if you so desire. But I didn't see anywhere it says it'll cost you this much a week or a month or whatever. So, did you find any other difference on that?
Yeah, no, I didn't. And like I said, I think it has potential. It's got a ways to go. But this fellow who is the CEO and chairman of Columbia, that's the entity that's going to be merging with Public Square, he was on Tucker Carlson recently, very articulate fellow, presented himself very well. He said, "It has become increasingly obvious that there is a disconnect in America between the priorities of large multinational corporations that dominate our consumer experience and the hardworking families and individuals who yearn to find proudly patriotic businesses." And he does seem sincere, and that's why I wish these people very, very well. I wish them well. And, you know, I have to point out that Tucker Carlson and him made a very, very good point. You know, he pointed out, Omid did, that's his name, Omid Malik, I'm sorry. Anyway, he said that you have corporate America pandering shamefully to China. Public Square doesn't do that. It invests in our nation. And then he pointed out something really important. He said, we are slouching towards social credit scores in this country. And so we need to create this economy to insulate ourselves from that, because the battlefield for liberty will be around commerce, not just politics. That's absolutely true. Carlson pointed out, you know, you can have all the opinions you want, but if all the money is on the other side, you're going to obey in the end. That's true. I pointed out in my piece, Chuck, that this is just like with geopolitics. When we talk about China, we point out that military power flows from economic power. It's the same thing with the culture wars. If you bankrupt your foe, well, he's not going to have the resources to fight back, and that's exactly what the left has been doing to us for a very, very long time. That's what deplatforming is all about, of dissenting individuals and entities. That's what demonetizing conservative videos is all about. That's what starving conservative websites of traffic and ad revenue is all about. Okay, and these are just a few examples. So we talk about defunding the police, Chuck, but here's the reality. The left doesn't talk about defunding us on the right. It just does it, okay? And unless we can find a way around this, we're doomed, because without money, you can't fight back. You know, they said decades ago, the Republicans have all the money. I don't know if that was ever really true, but insofar as maybe it was, it's certainly not true today. Virtually all the money is on the left. And again, we have to create our own parallel economy to combat that. It really is the only way to do it. And We have to direct our purchases in the direction of entities that support our sense of virtue, not these woke entities that are working to destroy our civilization.
Yeah, and you say all the money, and who has it, you know, and it automatically pops into my mind the Congress critters, you know, and because they don't have term limits, they just keep raking it in with all their advanced knowledge of stock markets and things like that. Selwyn, once again, a beautiful winner from you. Pardon me. Two good winners.
Thanks
there,
a lot, Chuck.
Okay? Appreciate it very much, and Selwyn Duke, look forward to our next visit.
Thank you, Chuck, and God bless.
God bless you. Remember the website, SelwynDuke.com. Thank you, Suede. Thank you for listening. And God bless the United States of America.